We're very excited to chat with these guys real quick. In fact, I only know for sure one of the guys is going to be in this interview. The other one is a mystery.
Yes.
We know we're going to have Jeff Good on, but which of the DeLeo brothers will it be? No one has told us as of yet.
Want to put some money on it?
Anybody want to guess? Casey?
I'm going to say Dean.
Dean. I'll go with Dean.
You're saying Dean?
Robert.
You're saying Robert, Kathy?
I'll go Robert.
I'm going. Not only am I going Robert, I'm saying Bobby.
Oh, Bobby.
Bobby DeLeo. Maybe on. I don't know. Let's find out. Jeff Good and
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Charles Nelson Reilly! Loved you on Lidsville.
Never would have guessed.
I'm going to guess that. Is that Robert?
It's Dean.
Damn. Dean always did the best Charles Nelson Reilly.
I got to buy lunch now. That sucks. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. Good.
Excellent. I would say welcome to Philadelphia, but you're not here. The next best thing. You will be here soon in May. I'm really excited about that. Actually, be happy you're not here because, Dean, we got a nor'easter coming through right now, man.
Yeah, we've been keeping an eye on that, you know. Sorry about that, guys. So what's the saying? March comes in like a lion and goes out like a
nor'easter. Son of a bitch.
Tyrannosaurus, right?
Yeah, it's been so this is the fourth nor'easter in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. All right, it's all good. We have our sights set on May right now for the MMRBQ when you guys are in town, which you have played before. And we're really excited for it. And Dean, we spoke to you not too long ago, but this is our first time to meet with Jeff. So Jeff, you know, awesome to welcome you into Philadelphia when you guys make it here. Dean and Robert and Eric have a long history, especially Dean and Robert. They're from the Jersey area, so they grew up listening to this radio station, and we're stoked that you can be here. How does it feel? Do you feel like a family member yet with these guys?
Oh, absolutely. We've had some time on the road to get it all going, and it's been awesome, man. Yeah,
I have to tell you that we just played the new song, and right from the get go, and I think a lot of us need a couple of times hearing a song before we start to say, all right, you know, that's the sound. It sounds good. Everything's where it should be. Right out of the gate, I think you fit right into the band, and it's been, at least from a listener's point of view, fairly effortless. Have you felt it's been fairly effortless? Because I know you know these guys, but has the transition seemed as comfortable for you as well?
Well, luckily they're all great guys, and it made it very comfortable. You know, I wasn't trying to reinvent the wheel or anything.
So, yeah,
yeah. I was just, just write the best songs we could, and it all happened really organically, and I think that really comes through on the record.
And that's great, because it's not you don't want to be a tribute band. You want to be an evolving band that carries the legacy forward. And you guys seem well on the way to that.
Well, thank you. I take that as a huge compliment, because, you know, it's a lot of work, you know, when you get in with a new group of guys and you decide to create something. It's a very personal thing to do with people, and it came out great, and very proud of it. Absolutely.
Dean, when you're welcoming in a new member to the band, you have to, you know, gel creatively, especially when it comes to putting new material out and so forth. How do you let somebody new into that world? Because I'm sure you guys already have somewhat of a formula that you use to write music.
Well, I think Jeff said it best. It's, you know, I don't know, man. I think you had to feel it more than think about it. You know, it definitely came more from the heart and soul than from the mind. And, you know, like Jeff said, it's very intimate, man. You're pulling down your pants without pulling down your pants, you know? Yeah.
You're using the Harvey Weinstein method.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I think we just all felt it, you know, and we went through, you know, several people prior to Jeff. And ironically, you were like the last person to come in.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, outside of the audition process and all that, or maybe part of the audition process, because A, you have to see if they got the chops as a singer. B, if they can handle some of the back catalog, but can they creatively gel? I mean, because Jeff, are you writing lyrics and melody and all that to what these guys are bringing to you? Is that how the new material rolls out?
Yeah, pretty much. I just try to listen to, you know, whether it's something we do together in the room together, or whether it's something that they had put down and recorded. I just try to listen to it and feel what I feel the music, what the vocals should do, you know, and I just went from there. So okay. it all starts with the vibe, and then I just kind of go from there.
Well, we're talking about a feeling again.
Yeah.
Feel, you know, it's not It's nothing that's thought about. It's something that's felt.
Well, right. There's a legitimate sense of excitement, and I think that's represented in the fact that you're getting a lot of celebrity walk-ons and friends. You've had Johnny Depp join you a couple times, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's
awesome.
And let me ask you, like, when you get behind backstage and Johnny Depp's there, do you just say to him, knock off that pirate stuff?
No, actually, a lot of our kids were there.
Oh.
And so, you know, Johnny goes right into character.
Does he?
And he just freaks the kids out, and they're like, whoa. And then he'll, like, go into Willy Wonka, and just he's just a really, really beautiful person.
Is he a cool guy? Because, you know, he's incredibly talented, and yet he seems like he's a big fan of Hunter Thompson. And sometimes you see, is he trying to become that way? But he, you know, but hanging out with him, you're saying he's just a cool, regular guy.
He's a beautiful person. You know, if Johnny overheard you say, I'm starving, he'll be like, can I make you a sandwich?
Oh, all right.
That's okay. The kind of cat he is.
That's cool. Jeff, I wanted to ask you about before you came into the world of these guys and on their radar, and you were, you know, playing in other bands. And I know you really grinded it out in Michigan and worked really hard to get where you are. And then X Factor comes along, and then that's where you started to get this, you know, more national profile. Whatever band you were in at the time, how did, you know, here's a lead singer going off to be a part of this competition where they kind of like, oh, dude, Jeff's doing this thing, man. Can you believe it? And then there you went, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I'd had some time in the music industry back in the early 2000 era. And, got a little disenfranchised with the whole thing, and decided that
imagine that.
Yeah, right. But it, you know, it was an integrity thing for me, and I just kind of walked away and went, you know, wanted to be a dad to my son and who I had in Detroit. And so I went and did that, and just through years of just playing and showing him music again and how I grew up with it, it made me really realize like why I fell in love with it in the first place, and that none of that stuff should have mattered to begin with. And so that's what really made me decide, you know, I was just playing in cover bands doing pretty much nothing except keeping my chops up, you know, which was the only thing I could do at the time. So I decided, you know what, how do you make the biggest splash? And at the time they had a $5 million recording contract was the first prize, and it was a new thing, and because he had, Simon Cowell left American Idol to do all that. And, you know, I never really was hip to those shows before I went into it, just because, you know, those people stand in line for a day, they get their shot, you know, and
yeah,
I'd been grinding it out for decades at that time. So, you know, I figured, you know, if it's going to be a $5 million contract, I might as well see if I can get that, you know.
Yeah.
So
you can't argue with that. The weird thing is that, like, even with American Idol on now, and it's taking a, you know, a ratings hit, and you look back and it, you know, how many legitimate stars have been generated from all these shows? I wonder if at some point there's not a little bit of a backlash and a pushback on people who come up through these shows, that it's almost people perceive it as the fast track or whatever, and there's always a new season, there's always somebody new they're asking you to idolize, you know.
You know what though, I mean, say what you want, you know, say what you want, Kelly Clarkson, great singer,
she's awesome. Yeah. Oh yeah,
great singer. You know, who's the girl that
Carrie Underwood.
So you're talking like season 1 and 3 or whatever, season 1 and 2 of American Idol, and then after that there's hasn't been really anybody else to come along, and they're certainly talented.
I think it just goes to show how tough this business can be. You know, as talented as you are, there's only room for so many.
Yeah,
in today's popular culture.
Yeah, but what's become so beautiful about it is that you know, recording technology has changed so drastically. You know, a lot of really talented people can make records in their home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the use of YouTube, and, you know, you have basically a record store in the palm of your hand, you know?
Well, I mean, there's an artist, is it Nikki Blom or something like that? I mean, she's currently touring now, and she's really popular, but she made a name for herself by singing in the back of a van in between gigs with her and her band. And that's how she became, you know, somewhat of a household name.
Yeah, I think the point I was getting at is that we're able to see a lot more talent nowadays because of, YouTube and social media, and like you really do have so much, so many avenues, you know, with your simply your computer, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's great because, you know, we didn't get to see so much talent in the day. You know, it was just kind of people who kind of stumbled into a recording contract.
Agreed.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, there's all kinds of virtuosos out there now that you can just pull them up on YouTube left and right. It doesn't mean they're going to be a rock star, but they are very talented musicians. And listen, there are tons of ways to make a living in the business other than being the gigantic touring band. So people can have that to go to. I want to ask about touring, by the way, and stage performances, Jeff, because I saw one the other day of you guys. You've been playing shows where you brought up, I think the kid was like 10 years old, and he sang Dead and Bloated with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And Dean, you were cracking up, man. It looks like you guys were having a blast watching this kid do it.
Yeah, I thought he was just going to sing the intro.
He sang the whole thing.
Yeah. That kid has sang with everybody, man. He's got quite a career going.
Really?
His name is Vedder, isn't it?
His name is Vedder, Vedder Gabriel, and he has sang with everyone from Chris Stapleton, 30 Seconds to Mars, Green Day.
I didn't know that.
A bunch of people, yeah.
Wow.
He's a great little kid, man, and he's well on his way.
Well, you know, the bands like Green Day and several others do occasionally bring somebody up, and they let them live that rock star moment, which, and you guys know, when you were dreaming of that when you were a kid, it's just... I mean, it's so cool that people will do that from time to time. So I thought that was neat that you guys did that. And Jeff, I wanted to ask as well. I caught a bit of an interview the other day saying that, you know, one of Scott's trademarks was using the megaphone. And that's not something, while you are going to be singing the back catalog, obviously, there's so many great, amazing songs. But there are some things that you're going to stay away from as not to be, you know, treading into what Scott made his own. Is that about the size of it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, Scott was a legend, and there's no replacing Scott at all. So, I mean, I'm not even going to try to go there. You know, I'm just going to try to do the songs as much justice as I can and try to sing them as a fan would want to hear them, because I'm a super huge fan of Stone Temple Pilots before I became a member of Stone Temple Pilots, which is still weird to say.
Yeah, you were 16 when Core came out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were the rest of us, just in love with this huge musical explosion that was taking place at the time.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Dean, I wanted to ask you a specific question, because we've had the pleasure of being able to stage announce that you guys were coming out. We walk out on the stage and tell them, you know, you're getting ready for Stone Temple Pilots. But one of the things your road manager was very clear about, was Scott had a special area on the stage. He's like, don't walk on it, don't walk near it, don't look this and that. And it was like this. You guys remember that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I've heard this from somewhere before. I was doing some stuff last week, and I heard this story, and I'm unaware of it. I didn't
really.
Yeah, I didn't know about it.
We were under the impression that it was where he would like slide a little bit.
There was like a piece of material,
right?
Out
like
there.
Like a specific kind, almost like a shiny black formica.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. You sure it was with STP, or was it with Velvet, or was it? I mean, I'm not aware of it, quite honestly.
Maybe he was just effing with us.
It might have been
with Velvet Revolver.
It might have been with Velvet Revolver because they played our show.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I don't recall anything like that in our camp. We kind of
okay.
Didn't.
You guys are strictly shag rug stuff like that, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Now we're talking, man.
It's what Charles Nelson Brown Reilly would have used.
It's Charles Nelson Reilly's way.
That's right.
You roll the Reilly way.
Well, listen, we are, like I said, we're stoked beyond belief to have you guys at the show coming up in May. But obviously the self-titled album was just released not that long ago. The response on Meadow, and we just played Roll Me Under for the first time.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's got that, you know, what you expect from you guys. And it's just, you know, you guys are still cranking it out. So we're excited to see you at the beginning of the summer. So
May 19th,
yeah, sir.
Buddy.
We will absolutely be there. We'll see. We'll pop in. We'll remind you guys of this interview. We'll see you backstage. And I'm sure, Dean, I'm sure you'll sit down with Pierre for a few minutes while we're there, too.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. All right, guys, take care. Thanks so much. Jeff Gutt and Dean DeLeo. Stone Temple Pilots. We'll talk to you soon. Very cool, man. Nice guys. I remember seeing Robert backstage at the last MMRBQ that they played. And he really looked like an intimidating guy to me for some reason.
Oh, really?
Always wears these big, you know, shades and has a very serious look about him on the face. But I walk by and he's all smiling. Hey, man, how you doing?
Preston!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Rick. Hey! No, but he was very cool. And they...
Hey, it's
I had no idea that voice was going to come out of him. No. They're really cool, and I'm happy they're going to be part of this year's lineup.
For more Preston and Steve, listen live weekday mornings on WMMR. Subscribe to the Daily Preston and Steve podcast on iTunes or listen live online at WMMR.com.